Hello and welcome to another episode of It Was Mooney, your source for all things movie, streaming, and pop culture related. I'm your host, Kosi, and I'm joined always by Wani B. And we're joined in studio once again by a friend of the show, Jim.
Best friend of the show.
Jimothy.
Glad to be here.
Jimothy might be our number one guest, either him or Eric.
Eric getting up there in terms of like the consecutive appearances. Yeah, man. Dude, great to see you guys. Man, we're all having the Super Bowl hangover. You know, this is going to be a Super Bowl heavy show.
Yes, yeah. Look over that Chiefs and Eagles game. That definitely lived up to expectations.
Man, it did.
Depends whose expectations.
Right. Seriously, like I think we can finally say the refs are no longer being paid off. Is that true?
Is it over the now? NFL not rigged?
We'll find out.
Yeah. Bro, it's never as rigged as it was when Tom Brady was around.
Man.
The fake gate.
But no, we'll get into all that and more on this episode. We'll also talk about that halftime show as well, guys. So,
We'll start with trailer trash. Talk about mostly, because he wanted to cheat a little bit, but mostly movie trailers from the Super Bowl. We're not going to go into the crappy Ben Affleck trailer with, I don't even know, it was just a bunch of Boston guys.
With Casey Affleck was up in there.
Casey Affleck, I think Bill Belichick was in there.
Bill Belichick
was weird.
Belichick was there.
Yeah. And I guess the Lilo and Stitch one doesn't really count either, so let's
give that one. Yeah, no, we're actually not doing every single movie because there's too many movies, actually. We're not doing the live action ones.
Yeah.
So, let's jump us off, Kosi.
All right, so this first trailer in the trailer trash segment. All right, so first up is the movie Thunderbolts. So this is the upcoming Marvel movie. You know, so Marvel, again, this is the 36th film in the MCU. They're going strong, like almost like 20 years in, and this stars 17 years in. Jeez Louise. Star-sided cast. This stars Florence Pugh, David Harbour, Wyatt Russell, Lewis Pullman, Hannah John Kamen, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Geraldine Viswamy.
Seinfeld. Yes. Seinfeld Girl's back. Oh my god!
Seriously, it's looking good. I'm reading off the cast list.
I say
it's
Seinfeld
crazy.
Girl, the Veep girl.
Veep. Yes.
Holy shit! That was her first.
Yes.
One.
Yes.
Yes.
You watch Veep?
Yes. Well, I saw Veep. The first two episodes. I'll say that.
Okay, you gotta watch more. It gets
seriously,
way better,
guys, watch Veep.
Okay.
Julia Louise is in there. She's great. But yeah, so starts with a cast. So in the movie, just quick premise: it's about a group of anti-heroes that are caught in a deadly trap by Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, played by the Veep herself, and they're forced into dangerous Suicide Squad-like mission.
You can just say it's a Marvel's reboot of the Suicide Squad.
All basically.
Essentially. Yes. With so many different characters.
Yeah, that's really what stuck out to me most. I want to hear from you guys. What did y'all think just initially just about just this Super Bowl spot? Dope trailer.
I thought it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Right?
It seemed fun.
And I don't know. It seemed fun, but also heartfelt and like sentimental in an earnest way.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like they were punctuating every serious moment with a joke. It did feel like they were all funny. Florence Pugh is one of my favorite actresses in all of Hollywood. One of my favorite actors, in all of Hollywood. The cast is pretty stacked. Some of the people we haven't seen much. Ghost was from Ant-Man 2.
Yeah, Hannah John Kamen's character.
We saw the Red Guardian from the the Black Widow movie.
Black Widow, yep.
We saw John.
John Walker?
John Walker. John Walker from Falcon and Winter Soldier. If you haven't kept up seriously with Marvel, there's a good chance you'll miss some of these. Actually, Taskmaster.
Taskmaster's in there from Black Widow as well.
Yes, I didn't expect to see Taskmaster there.
Yeah. We actually barely see her.
Barely.
Most of the car scenes, most of the big ensemble scenes, she's not seemingly there. So I don't know if that means they recruit her late or that she dies early. I could see either one of those.
Could be. I wouldn't be surprised on that.
She was a very lame character in the movie she was shown in compared to how cool she was in the comics.
Right.
Yeah, the Taskmaster character in the comics is like a guy who can like copy your moves and just fight. Black Widow movie kind of did something
like that. More robotic kind of. If you ever watch the Deadpool first class, no, not first class.
X-Men first class?
No, Wolverine Origins.
X-Men Origins.
Where they made Deadpool into a mouthless, weird creepy dude.
They closed the mouth.
Ryan Reynolds there?
That was still Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Yep.
But they literally, is the Merc with a mouth.
They sewed his mouth shut.
I think that was satire for
it. Well, it was a studio note. There was on like, some shut the level, guy up.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. It was a terrible movie.
Yes.
I only enjoyed it because I watched that pirated with no special effects.
Yeah, man.
You know, I remember that
version? Yeah, the crappy Nigerian download you get for like 36 megabytes.
You would see the wires. You would actually see the wires.
You see the green before the green screen.
You see the green screen. Yeah. The big climatic fight. It was just a small square. Everything else was gray.
Oh, my
God. It was hilarious.
But yeah,
I had a great time watching it drunk in college. So.
But going back to Thunderbolts, though, we're also missing a character called Sentry, played by Lewis Pullman.
That seems to be the villain.
Yeah, the villain, maybe like antagonist. This was actually way before the movie came out. This was supposedly going to be played by Steven Yeun. He's the voice of Invincible.
I love
he's in
that
a lot
guy.
Of stuff. He was in Nope. Yeah, but then I guess scheduling whatever. They
Walking Dead, bro.
Yeah. Walking Dead, Glenn. But yeah, he couldn't do it, so they got Lewis Pullman. He's actually, you saw him in Top Gun Maverick. He was Bob in Top Gun Maverick. He's going to be Bob here as Sentry. yeah, this movie, look, I'm the resident Marvel shill here on the show. I've been excited for a lot of movies, but like this one and Captain America Brave New World, I've kind of been like, this looks good, but
wait,
not been
you
like,
think Captain America Brave New World looks good?
It looks all right. I'm just not
Cozy,
like...
be honest. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay, Cozy.
No, I'm being honest. I'm not being honest here. Like, it hasn't blown me away, but like, I'll still check it out.
That's fair. That's as close to hating as Cozy's capable
yeah,
of being.
Yeah, I don't like hate it, but... Again,
it's
I'm
not
just,
impressive.
But just like this one, I'm not
That's
like...
As cold an endorsement as you'll ever hear from a movie.
But I'll still watch it. But yeah, I'm
Cozy
excited.
Loved Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Love
so.
It. Neon Butters. We both love it.
Right. You know what? I will defend Cozy's right to like movies that the general
what was the fifth
population give him, does not love. I'll give him all a chance. That's all I'll say. I want to go in to like every
we
movie.
We need some positivity in Trump's America.
Yes.
But this one, like Thunderbolts, like I'm not super excited, but this trailer definitely got me like in. So
I was surprised by it, and I think I'll plan on checking it out. It's something new from the MCU, and you know, all these new characters or old characters coalescing really bring a special flavor to it.
Yeah, and it comes out in May, so a couple months.
May 2nd, I think.
Yeah.
Now, fun movie, it looks like.
Oh, yeah. Now, moving on,
to
another fun movie, we have Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. Again, this is a big boy Tom Cruise. You know how it is. He's trying to always see what different way Tom Cruise...
Is this the 10th?
Man, I think
I lost count. My reaction
this
is, oh my
is
goodness.
The 8th installment.
Tom Cruise is at it again.
Episode
wow.
8. Yeah, the final reckoning it is.
Tom Cruise.
Is it the final movie?
Huh. Tom we'll Cruise see. Is risking his life for our entertainment. I need you to understand that. He's one of the best stuntmen in Hollywood.
He doesn't need to do this.
And stuntmen get injured. They get hurt. They sometimes die. It's not a supremely rare occurrence.
I mean,
and Tom Cruise is pushing the friggin' envelope.
Yeah, that scene with him hanging upside down by his hand of the Cessna airplane was
and you know he's
incredible.
Hanging.
You know that's real.
Good shout out on the Cessna. That's real. He's doing that.
Yeah, he's a madman.
Yes. He's doing that. The scene in the last movie where he jumped off a cliff.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Like he jumped. He jumped Springfield Gorge, but
obviously
real.
He didn't like. Jump straight into a train from that.
But
there's limits.
That.
But he still rode a motorcycle off an enormous ramp and base jumped down like he does not care about his own life. It's one of the most impressive.
And he'll do it again.
So what do you think of the stunts, Juan? Like, just like...
That's the whole movie, right?
But how can he top himself now? Like how do you think he's going to do
this? Honestly, I'm not sure if he can. Real talk, he's getting older.
You know what? You know why I got one? Space.
Low
they
orbit.
Already tried that on Fast and Furious, and it was actually kind of disappointing.
But for real this time, but we know it's him in low orbit.
Okay.
Like, what if he's like...
Low orbit, huh?
Like, what if he's just...
Choking
floating.
Up to there?
Yeah.
Space suit?
If there's one man that could do that, just... I don't know.
That would be impressive.
Throwing it out
that would be impressive. Honestly, though, if
Please
we're being real,
Tom Cruise.
Underwater shit is more impressive.
That's extra dangerous.
That one scene where he held his breath for like
yeah, actual underwater shit is more impressive.
Yeah.
Like, underwater, we know the surface of the moon better than we know the surface of the ocean.
Absolutely true.
Yes. Not even close. Not even close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but... I'm excited for this, and let me see. Comes out.
Also, Haley Atwell.
Haley Atwell's in this. Bing Rhames in this. Yeah. Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg.
Vanessa
the old
Kirby.
School, And that's a Kirby. What's the black guy's name?
Ving Rhames. He's in this.
This is his only Hollywood paycheck.
Yeah, he just shows up.
Tom Cruise is keeping this guy's whole career alive. He's not that bad. I wouldn't hate to see him in more films. You know what I mean?
He's had a pretty good career. He was in Pulp Fiction. He was in like
Marcellus Wallace, he was great in an indie
low budget one film called Baby Boy.
He was a force. Now he's just catching the Mission Impossible. He's just
hanging out with Tom Cruise.
There's a good chance he's under contract and he almost has to do it.
Yeah, I think he's been in everyone since the second one.
Probably the second most consistent character after Tom Cruise.
Simon Pegg joined him in 3, and then
Haley Atwell's a big love interest. Yeah. And nice. She's very fine.
Oh yeah, it's Captain Carter herself. Yeah, I love Carter. This.
Yeah, so when's that coming out?
This comes out May 23rd. So, you know, we got this spring.
May's going to be a heavy month.
Yeah, spring and summer's looking pretty good.
May's going to be a heavy month so far.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kosey. What's the next movie?
The next one, we got Jurassic World Rebirth. Ooh. Guys, they're doing it again.
Another dinosaur movie?
Yeah.
Honestly, all you need to know about this trailer is that they decided that it was a good idea to rebirth the fun but mid-world sequence instead of the... not always, but often great Jurassic Park series.
Look, exactly. You can't beat John Hammond's Jurassic Park, no matter what, in my opinion. Even though the other ones that try to come back and do it, they were okay. John Hammond did it right, and you just can't do it again. So I think the world is the right direction to go, to explore the first lab where dinosaurs were actually bred, and seeing of different action sequences in the water.
You know what? I'm going to say, I just feel like... These movies work better as, one, a showcase of dinosaurs, the kind of nature, the power of nature, and then, two, as horror movies. That's what Jurassic Park really made it.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even that much action, right? It was just a straight-up horror movie.
Yeah.
Right?
From the first one,
Yeah, the first one.
The T-Rex scenes?
The T-Rex, once the lights went off, they do pay homage. But these are action movies first and foremost.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
The Jurassic World 2 had some horror kind of elements, but then so poorly, you could almost... it's hard to describe them as such.
Yeah.
But the first movie was freaking terrifying.
Mm-hmm. I remember as a kid, I was like, all right, this...
Even as an adult, it fucks with you watching the kids almost die to the T-Rex, mm-hmm. watching the kid get stamped on. It's a scary movie. Devoured. It's a great horror movie.
I'll say this, though. This new one, directed by Gareth Edwards, he's a guy that did like Star Wars Rogue One. And it's written by...
Did he also do some of the world movies?
He did Godzilla. That's what he did.
Okay.
But it's also written by... the screenplay written by David Koepp. And so David Koepp wrote the original Jurassic Park movie. That gives me hope. Like,
there's good hope.
And like, and a lot of people that made that the original movie.
Jurassic Park was based on a book, though.
Yeah, it was based on a book. You know what? Any bets on if they're going to open the same way as Jurassic Park does with the horror sequence?
Yeah, that opening sequence was pretty...
Where the guys getting sucked into the rage.
When Newman died, that was freaking horrifying.
Yes. That was kind of like... that was horrifying, but like, hey, man.
It was cosmic retribution.
Hey, man, that's what you get.
Karmic retribution. Yeah. But also, it was horrifying. That scene messed me up as a kid.
Yeah, that was...
That almost messed me up worse than the T-Rex scenes.
Oh. But I think this new one... I think they're going to go... they might be going back to those roots with Scarlett Johansson's in this, Mahershala Ali's in this.
Scarlett's looking great.
It's a great cast they have. Yeah. I love this.
So. And date for that one?
This is going to come out July 2nd. Ooh, so a really packed May, then June, then July. I'm going in, and speaking of July, we're going to go right into the next one coming out in July. This is the end of July. It's Fantastic Four First Steps. This comes out July the 25th of this year. So, again, this stars Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, and Joseph Quinn, and Ebon Moss-Bacharach as the first family of Marvel. And it's about just... we're not sure what this is about. We don't know what takes place in, like, 1960s retrofuturistic Earth, but they're trying to, you know, protect Earth from Galactus and its herald, Silver Surfer. So, guys, what'd y'all think of this trailer, this first look?
What do we talk about the thing first?
Whatever you want to talk about.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just what's the thing?
I mean, that's his name, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing.
No, he looked great. I thought he looked kind of a mix between reality and comic way. You know, he had the right look about him. I think
Marvel's done a much better job in recent years. I'll give him credit. of taking comic book looks but making them real life appropriate.
Yeah.
Yes. Even early on, they felt kind of embarrassed with some of these costumes.
Almost like costumes.
The costumes. Let's look at it. It's not the dark color, right? They've kind of went to lighter shade.
It's the Alex Ross.
And it's still the latex on.
Said the word perfectly. Retrofuturistic. It's Jetson shit.
If the Jetsons had powers.
That's the word, for what's going on, right? Where... it doesn't look like sci-fi from today's age. It looks like sci-fi from the 50s.
Yeah. So, ooh, that's like
And that. I love this. This is like one of those properties where like the Fantastic Four is my favorite team in all of Marvel. They have a great rogues gallery of characters. Doctor Doom, their main character, villain, is like my favorite.
No sign of him in the trailer, right?
No, he's not in this, but like he's in that world. So I just love the fact we're getting like this first glimpse into this. I've been waiting for them to do this.
Robert Downey, is he going to come?
He's supposed to be Victor Von Doom. Yes,
He's Victor Von Doom, but we're not sure of where.
Are they going to blend? No,
that's going to be in the Secret Wars movie.
Yeah, Secret Wars. That's for Doomsday for next year. Okay, next year.
I wouldn't try to cash up too much. On
yeah, he's clearly tried
to pivot after Jonathan Majors beat his girlfriend.
I see.
Yeah,
I don't want to say fully beat his girl. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but he hurt her pretty badly.
That's very unfortunate. All right, well then, that's
Let's not get into that.
Yes, next. Wait, so that once again, that was late July 25th, you said?
Yeah, like so end of the summer going into August.
Very optimistic movie going to compete with Superman as Both of them look like very bright, optimistic superhero movies.
The movies we would need right now coming out.
Sometimes you get those movies, like pair movies, you know what I mean? Like movies that come out near the same time that almost seem like they're an answer to each other.
DCMCU.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily in this case, right? Sometimes you get something like Ants and Bugs Life.
Yeah.
Clearly, they're not. They can't have been entirely intended to be together because of how. I will fight you on this. Bugs Life is so much better.
Bugs Life was just seven.
A Bug's Life is the superior movie. Bugs Life
was incredible, man.
Yeah,
but I'm excited for this movie.
Same here, man. So
I'm excited for this Marvel stuff. I'm not excited for Captain America. Yes. I'll admit.
Yeah. All right, so for that exception that was not in the Super Bowl,
there was one exception, guys. Yes, it was a late addition. It is Sinners. This is going to come out April 18th. This is the new Ryan Coogler film. It also stars Michael B. Jordan, Hailee Steinfeld, Jack O'Connell, gigantic cast of people I love watching. But this is actually one of those. People complain about Hollywood not having anything like original, but this is something that Ryan Coogler himself came up with on his own and just pitched to a lot of studios. There was a big bidding war for it, and Warner Brothers ended up winning. So really excited about it. Not much about the movie we know about. Just it's about these two twin brothers who return back to their hometown, and some spooky stuff starts to happen. So
I like the buildup. I had watching the trailer, I had no idea going in, so that was my first time seeing it. It was the buildup of the tension. It has that old Western feel. They enter the town, and then kind of curious what's going to happen, and of course eventually the reveal of what is
it's some kind of satanic demonic shit going on.
Well, like
it's obviously vampires, I think. Big allegories for racism,
definitely big allegories,
for how the monster, how people become monstrous. But it looks like a fun movie. Michael B. Jordan acts the shit out of that role.
Yeah.
The way he acts the shit out of basically everything. Yeah, it's one of several movies coming out seemingly either this year or next where the same actor plays twins.
Yeah, you pointed out like...
Playing two people?
Yeah. He's playing his own brother.
Yeah.
I see.
There was this movie, Sinners.
There's this. Mm-hmm. Robert De Niro is doing a movie I can't remember what it was called. I saw a trailer for it recently.
Robert De Niro.
He's doing one too.
With Martin Scorsese.
They're coming together again.
Yeah, no, there's like some gangster movie about... One? Yeah, okay, that's what they do, right? I can't say I'm dissatisfied.
Who's the guy? Who's the other guy that's always in it? Oh my gosh,
Joe Pesci.
Yeah, Joe Pesci. Yes,
but I don't think he's in this one.
Ah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't think he's in active too much anymore. He did The Irishman.
Yes,
he was actually really good in Irishman.
I guess he's getting a bit old.
He's very old. But it's a couple twin movies. I think Kosi, you mentioned another one.
There's with, Mickey 17 with
Patrick Robert
Pattinson. Robert that guy. Yeah.
Robert Pattinson,
sorry. But Sinners looks awesome. It's one of my most anticipated movies of this year.
Yeah, and the date for that one?
This is April 18th. So, again, all these movies are kind of coming out. Yeah, April 18th.
It's coming out soon.
Yeah, so we have a really packed spring to summer just trajectory of just movies coming out in the Super Bowl. You know, the overall the trailers were like so-so. Like, we had the Thunderbolts, so it was a really great highlight. But overall, you know, going into this, which
you know what, like the movie trailers were a lot better than the rest of the commercials.
Right? Yeah, I'm gonna say going in
much more memorable.
Super Bowl commercials have fallen off.
Any stick out to you? Super
Not Bowl? In a good way. I kept laughing at the Country Roads commercial, the Rocket Mortgage. Take me home,
oh, Lord.
Country Roads. No, it was very sappy, bro. These home loan companies have extremely sappy commercials.
That's how they get you, though.
It was like back when you'd see like an epic nature commercial of like big shots in the woods and stuff, and all of a sudden you see a Toyota Tacoma drive out, and it was apparently a truck ad.
You know what that is? Yes, yes. You know, what kind of stuck out was almost like kind of anti-ad was a guy just posting a picture of himself with a phone number for 5 seconds. I don't even remember what it was, but it just stuck out to me. Like, oh man, he paid $1.6 million for those 5 seconds.
Dude, I'm just glad it wasn't like a Timu
commercial. You know what? I like that there was, I can't remember what it was, the name of the company. It was just a bad sign. But the one that told you to go to the bathroom. The one that told you to take a piss break before the Super Bowl. Before the Super Bowl halftime. No, man. Super Bowl commercials have fallen off. Obviously, people have different thoughts on it.
They're just so expensive now.
Like, they're very expensive. People, part of what's happening is that, you know, marketing departments, you don't see these major ad campaigns with very creative ads because people don't watch as many ads anymore.
Yeah, people want to, like, folks buy and like, go out of their way to, like, not watch ads on, like, streaming services.
Right, they watch streaming services. Yeah. Very few people watch big cable. Even if you get something like Hulu with ads, it's, like, weird internet ads. Yeah. It's not like the old school major ad campaigns from companies like Geico.
I mean, when's the last time you've seen a cereal commercial?
Yeah, right? It's, you see a few kind of, but it doesn't feel the same. At the same level.
But I think it more so speaks to the fact that, like, it doesn't matter what they're selling. These commercials just lack the creativity, I think. I hate to say this. They don't have, like, oomph. Like, a commercial, I remember, like, back in the day. Like, remember the Doritos commercials? Like, they had, like, these, like, people that could, like, sign up and, like, try to earn their way on. There was one where this little kid, like, had his little boy. And, like, some guy came to meet his mom. And mom's like, all right, I'll be out in a minute. And, like, the guy goes to eat his Doritos. And the little boy's, like, just slaps him in the face, like, put it back.
Yeah.
Don't touch my mama. Don't touch my Doritos. Yeah. It's like stuff like that. It's like it's creative. It's cute. It's stuff that like
snappy.
Yeah. I think they kind of like nowadays we're trying to just go for it. Right? Who's popular? Who's in right now? All right, get them in there for like 30 seconds because it costs like $8 million per second, whatever.
A whole big campaign. They do these ads before the Super Bowl to advertise the Super Bowl ad. Like it's a whole big event.
Get ready for it. It's gonna be a super cool ad.
And I don't know, it's just not as memorable. Okay, cool. Like it was a lot. Like even okay, Budweiser, you didn't used to advertise that much, right? It's usually Bud Light advertising.
Wait.
But they do the Clydesdales commercials, and those were
mainstay.
Epic.
Yeah.
You know?
In truth, I was waiting for a Clydesdale.
They
was
showed there, one. There was one at the end. Okay. There's one, like, third quarter.
I mean, again, it's not that every commercial is bad, but, like, the cinematography, the epicness, mm-hmm.
The impact, the feel.
The art of it, yes. Right? These were cultural touchstones.
Does feel kind
of
lost.
Even though, everybody hates ads. In a sense, yes. But, you know, people would remember, the Geico commercial, 15 minutes can save you 15% or more, right?
Yeah, the caveman.
The caveman, the little money with eyes, mm-hmm. Different things. The speed racer one where, like, I just saved 15% of my car insurance. It was just the Geico. You know, like, this goofy, like, they had, like, 10 different spokespeople.
But now what they're doing, they're basically just, like, referencing all those cool ones in the commercials now. Like, there's one where they kind of just took, like all, like, the old, like, icons from old commercials and just stuck them in to go, like, to it's for an ad for, I think,
yeah,
for,
very referential.
For Grubhub.
There was the Banshees of Inisherin commercial.
Oh, wow.
With Pod, what is his name? Weird-looking guy.
Oh, no.
From Eternals.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't got the name on.
Yeah, no, but they literally did a Banshees of Inisherin
commercial. Barry Keoghan,
yeah. Which is not an overwhelmingly popular movie that came out 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of
really
like,
good movie, But
no one's talking about it since.
Yeah, you know? It's people kind of like in the sense like, oh yeah, it's a good movie.
No, not like widespread,
no, but it's not. Know. It's not a mainstream movie
to spend $8 million.
It's not. It's wild that they did that. It was kind of a funny commercial, but but especially if you watch the movie
for the fans. That was
Funny. But it's so removed from when it happened. It literally seems like somebody had this idea 2 years ago, and then the whole Superman development cycle took so long that it took them, a whole 2 years to get the idea approved and financed and set. You know, it's just too much. I don't know what the solution is. There used to be a lot of funny small commercials, the High Life commercial, the Miller High Life.
Oh, those are fun.
You remember when the guy just yelled High Life on the Super Bowl? That was the first one where they did Super Bowl ads. Or they did pre-Super Bowl ads for the Super Bowl ad. Mm-hmm. But it felt funny because you knew it was only going to be a one-second Super Bowl ad.
Yeah.
Right? It felt like they were playing on that. Like, okay, we're explaining to you why we're going to have a one-second Super Bowl ad. And even then, you see the guy yelling, High Life! was memorable, right? I still remember that shit like today. You know,
they did it right. The campaign worked.
Yes. The campaign worked. Remember, High Life was not even that bad a beer, honestly. But yeah, man, it's I honestly did not have too many memorable standout campaigns. There was the Carl Jr.'s bringing back bikini babes, but like that just feels stale at this point.
Again,
you can see boobs on the internet anytime you want.
Stale is the right word for it.
GoDaddy.com.
Yeah, right. GoDaddy.com commercials.
So again,
it was titillating back in 2005. It kind of stayed memorable for a while just because they stuck to the theme so hard. But eventually, it's like, guys, we can just see titties on the internet whenever. There's OnlyFans and everything.
It's played out now.
Yeah, like it's too late.
So, but what about the game?
All right, the actual
Super game. Segway alert.
A little bit.
Yeah, Super Bowl 59.
All right, so obviously
that was an ass kicking.
Obviously, it was a bad game.
Chiefs versus Eagles with the Chiefs
3-peat on the line,
which yes. I legit wanted to see it. I kind of wanted to see history.
I'm a history nerd. Yeah. I'm the kind of guy. I get why people are hating on the Chiefs, and of course, I kind of hate on them too. But there's a part of me that's like, man.
Can they do it?
It's like, it's kind of like when Steph Curry and Kevin Durant were doing their shit. It's like. On the one hand, I get why people are upset, but on the other hand, let's push the limits of what's possible.
Let's see what
I would agree on that point, except for both the Texans and the Bills games had really, really weird calls.
The Bills, not as much. It was just a tough position. You know, those are always a little bit iffy. I'll admit, I think he got the first down. The call you're talking about, I think Josh Allen got the first down, and I know Josh Allen would agree with me that he got the fucking first down. But he shouldn't have freaking run to the left every single time on short run. You know, maybe we should have tried to be a little more creative than that. Just maybe. After they got stuffed several times, they should have thought about, changing it up a little bit.
Nonetheless, I think like that's what detracts from this. I want to see them hit that three-peat because it feels like it wasn't deserved to get
it. It feels a little overstated. The Texans game was a little bad. Especially as a Texans fan, the roughing the passer calls
roughing the passer
were really bad. Really bad.
Disagree with those refs.
And they both led to touchdowns. So
yes. I just feel as though this was like the worst the Chiefs have ever been. And like even at their worst, they're still like stumbling into a Super Bowl.
They still got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, which is incredible. Again, like they're seemingly invincible teams. So
last six Super Bowls, they've been in five of them, right?
Yeah.
Super Bowls.
Yeah.
The last one was an overtime loss, and the only two times Patrick Mahomes has not been in the Super Bowl have been overtime losses in the AFC Championship. The literal worst he's ever done was tying for third place.
Dude, and that's why I thought
and
that's why I thought the Eagles didn't have a chance in this game. Going, I was like, there's no way they're going to beat them because Mahomes and friends always find a way. They always find a way to win, especially if you keep them around in the game for long enough, they'll just beat you. And then a weird thing happened in this: the Eagles' defensive line just smacked them, just manhandled them, smacked them around.
The Eagles were better as a team.
Insane to watch.
As a whole, I mean, Eagles were three of the last eight Super Bowls, so they're not bad,
and they're
really good,
and they're like top three in the NFL defense wise every year. They finish in the top, easy in the top five defensively every single year. So this is no slouch defensively coming in. So, but still, it was just still crazy.
A legendary defensive performance.
Yeah,
We've seen a couple over the years.
The Bucks, I mean, truly, the Bucks did it to him a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, people say defense wins championships.
Oh, yeah.
And honestly, the right, even the Chiefs last year, that's how they won their championship, yeah. If we're being honest. They really, yeah, they weren't that good at offense.
Spags' defense was amazing, man.
Even this, yeah, they scored 40 points, but it was mostly because the offense fell apart.
Yeah, they gave away.
Defense,
yeah.
The defense absolutely did their job.
22-40 as a final score, but I mean, that was 16 points in the fourth quarter for Chiefs, which
have y'all ever seen Mahomes throw a pick six? I've never seen that before.
I'm sure it's happened.
But I'm not used to seeing it. It just felt foreign. Like,
and then he immediately threw another pick, the next drive.
Yeah, so... And it kind of just, I was telling Juan, it kind of just kind of got boring by the third quarter because, all right.
I mean, by the half, it was really infinite. Dire.
Yeah, because halftime, you see, Tom Brady was saying, hey, man, I came back, but, but again, you're thinking, okay,
yeah, what can Tom Brady's just bragging.
Yeah.
Even Tom Brady, you know what, let's face it. The Falcons lost their best defensive player to injury in the middle of that Super Bowl. That's the only reason they lost, right? You can say all kinds of stuff. The defense that held Tom Brady to 3 points at the half was not the same defense that they had in the second half.
It's all about adjustments, yeah. So I was
sometimes adjustments. I was telling, I actually told you, you remember? Hey, sometimes, literally the Chiefs need a miracle injury.
But the Chiefs and Andy Reid are, they're masters at adjusting. A brick wall. Okay,
they generally
adjust.
Are.
They usually are. It's
we've
really
seen this picture before. The Bucks, obviously. But even before that, we saw it when the Denver Broncos destroyed Cam Newton.
Oh, yes. Yes, that
in
was
the Super Bowl.
One. Yeah, Von Miller.
Listen, Cam Newton was MVP 15-1. Peyton Manning got benched.
They lost two games that year.
Just one. Just one in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, but still,
15-1,
yeah,
and then crazy. They lost the Super Bowl. Best team in the league. And then, again, Peyton Manning looked like an old man, could barely throw, got benched in the preceding rounds. But the defense was so ridiculously obnoxious behind Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, Champ Bailey. They had somebody else on cornerback. You remember who
was it? Kareem Jackson? Was Kareem Jackson still with us?
No, Kareem Jackson was with the Texans at the time.
Okay.
But it was somebody. It was Champ Bailey and somebody else. Yeah. I don't know, whatever, who it was. Incredible defense. We saw it with the Seahawks against a similar Broncos team. That was a Broncos team. Something 14-2. Just set all kinds of offensive records. Literally, still to this day, offensive records.
Like, they had a pair of receivers. Demaryius Thomas almost had 1,000 yards easily.
And then the tight end. It was DT as well.
Oh, my gosh. Nah.
Some DT name. I can't remember what it was. Some other tight end that put up ridiculous passing.
They were just humming on offense.
All records. They still have the records for every offense. And then in the Super Bowl, they got detonated.
They lost
by 24 points.
But I still thought...
It was not competitive.
But again, you look at the Kansas City Chiefs offense. They have Mahomes, Kelce.
That was Peyton Manning with some of the best offense he ever had.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, good... An incredible defense is the best way to win a championship. Yep. The problem with that is that it's incredibly hard to build a sustained top-shelf defensive performance that we saw from the Eagles. They just lost their defensive coordinator, Big Fangio. He's gone. They're going to lose some people to injuries, free agency, trades, slippage due to age, right? Just good chance they go from top-tier number one legendary defense to merely something like top five, really good defense. But guess what? Their offense, Saquon slips up a little bit. Jalen Hurts is not that great at throwing. We just saw last year, frankly, that the Eagles had a terrible year after almost winning the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Or what, 3 years ago?
But I wouldn't call what happened in the Super Bowl to Barkley a slip up. He just set a record for next year. I see him carrying the.
They just lost their offensive coordinator. If you see the history of Kellen people Moore, who put up 2,000 yards,
yeah, he's not going to repeat that.
People who put up 2,000 yards. It is very, not just rare, it's unseen that they repeat that the next year.
Yeah, I'm not asking them to do
not
that.
Not just unseen. They usually have a down year the next year. There's a very good chance Barkley misses time due to injuries, that he's not quite the same person.
Oh, yeah. It's very hard to go back to a Super Bowl. Again, what the Chiefs have done is kind of an
especially
anomaly.
Especially this kind of perfect team where everything comes together.
Yeah, at the right time in the postseason.
That's why it's usually better to build around the Tom Brady, a Patrick Mahomes, a Josh Allen, these superstar, top-tier quarterbacks, because they give you much more margin for error. Right? They raise your floor tremendously.
Yeah, you won't have your defense.
And it's just one player who usually doesn't get injured as much, doesn't take as many hits, who you have to rely on, versus the Eagles have to rely on everything being perfect. They have to rely on A.J. Brown being elite, Devontae Smith being really good. They have to rely on Saquon Barkley being the best running back. They have to rely on their defense being incredibly just dominant.
There are too many pieces in the machine.
Yeah, they have to rely on 20 different players being amazing as opposed to one player being amazing. Not to take away from the rest of the Chiefs team. They're also still really good. But, you know, there's a reason why we see these dynasties and this consistent success between Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning, not quite at that level, obviously. But we just see this consistent, repeated, top-tier success. Even when they're not winning Super Bowls, they're getting damn close.
Do you see the Chiefs coming back for another Super Bowl?
Of course. Of course. 60. Of course.
I don't know if they'll be in the next Super Bowl, but they'll be in contention.
You'll have to go through for the AFC, you have to go through them. You just have to.
That's be in contention. Like, as long as it's Mahomes not playing, a fluke. Yeah. People wanted to say, oh, they won a bunch of close games. Yes, because they were pacing themselves. They didn't need to go as hard. Yeah, like, and listen, the Eagles were ridiculous. Yeah. They also destroyed the Commanders. They destroyed every team they faced in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
That was a special team. That was a special team. And we've seen special teams. The last time a special team like that had a even close to a repeat was the Seahawks, where, again, if they had some injuries in the middle of the Super Bowl to their secondary, and they hadn't.
Was that Russell Wilson?
Yeah, they had run the stupid Marshawn Lynch at the goal line.
Back-to-back champs.
They would have beat Tom Brady's ass.
They should be back-to-back champs.
And they would have won back-to-back. That was the last time we saw something like that.
Yeah.
And even then, Russell Wilson was merely pretty good at quarterback as opposed to all-time good.
I'll just give pushback here. I think Jalen Hurts has proved now that he's not just mediocre. No, he's not just a game manager.
I wouldn't say he's mediocre. He's a good quarterback. But he's not elite. Yeah. He's not elite.
Of course not elite. But this definitely helps his case now.
He played extremely well.
I think
he played extremely
well. This Super Bowl helps his case.
He got some easy looks because they were loading the box against Barkley. Barkley didn't get much, but they were selling out so hard to stop him that the deep shots were there.
Yeah, Hurts still made the right decision.
A.J. Brown was getting a lot of one-on-one looks.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith got a lot of one-on-one looks. Josh Dotson. And then Jalen Hurts was able to put the deep ball right where it needed to be. Not the biggest defensive-breaking performance of all time, but did it more than enough. He's a good quarterback.
Mahomes put up a bigger number. I think Mahomes had 257 yards and Hurts at 221.
Yeah, but that was a whole bunch of garbage time.
So do you think Mahomes is still on his way to being considered an all-time great?
I mean, he's obviously an all-time great, but I think this obviously
Do you think this hurts his case at all?
It hurts his case to be the GOAT. Okay. It hurts his case to be the GOAT. It was already going to be tough because he lost to Tom Brady twice.
Okay.
In the playoffs, right? He would have two more Super Bowls already if it wasn't for Tom Brady. So that's notable.
Mm.
And also bad luck with a coin flip.
Right. Okay.
Sometimes that's what it comes down to, bad luck with a coin flip. But listen, that matters. It matters that he's lost to Brady twice, head-to-head, and it matters that he's got blown out twice in the Super Bowl. Brady never really got blown out.
Because Mahomes is not even 30. I think he's still around for another 10 years. I think he's going to go back another five.
He's the most talented quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
I'll say that right now. Like, you can say Brady's the GOAT, that's fine.
But from talent-wise.
But talent, skill-wise,
okay.
Mahomes is the best quarterback of all
time. Does he need Andy Reid? Or if one were to leave the Chiefs, who would leave the Chiefs?
You know what, man?
Andy Reid would leave.
Obviously, coaching matters.
Yeah, I think Andy
obviously, coaching matters.
Yeah.
Even Tom Brady, when he left Bill Belichick, he went to
the Buccaneers.
He had a really good coach.
Bruce Arians. Not Bruce Arians. Yeah.
Bruce Arians is a really good,
amazing coach.
Hall of Fame level coach.
Yeah, Hall of Fame level coach.
People are like, oh, yeah, he doesn't need Belichick. Okay, but he still needed a really good coach.
Yeah, you still need. You can be the best, but you need someone to bring that out of
you. The only quarterback I've seen truly win just regardless of the coach and was basically his own offensive coach was Peyton Manning. That's the list.
Peyton Manning was the offense, and so he brought the offensive scheme with him to where he went.
Everywhere he went, they're like, wait, no, we're going to run the Peyton Manning offense.
He is
honestly the smartest.
That was Coach Kubiak.
Smartest offensive player probably all time.
That was him and Coach Kubiak.
I don't think he gets enough credit these days because Tom Brady had more longevity, all this stuff, and always won a lot more Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But freaking Peyton Manning was one of the smartest, if not the smartest football player to ever play.
I'll also say this. I think he still if he still plays the way he's playing throughout his career, he still should be in the conversation. Maybe not the GOAT, but
still
I honestly think right now he's pretty close to number two.
He was in so many commercials as well.
Mahomes?
Oh, my God.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning was in a ton of commercials. But I don't know. Peyton Manning was better at the commercials.
Yeah, he's really good on camera. He has a great camera.
Peyton Manning was really good as a spokesperson.
Really funny guy.
Really good as a spokesperson. You have to give him credit. What do you call it? Patrick Mahomes is not.
No,
He's annoying. It's annoying seeing him in all these commercials.
Doesn't have that persona. All right, well, any other last thoughts about the game before we move on to the halftime show?
Last thought is that recently running backs have been devalued heavily, especially by analytics folks who say, oh, no, running back doesn't matter. It's their fungible positions. You can replace them easily. And listen, again, it's like we talked about earlier. If you're going to prioritize something, having an amazing offensive line is going to make even a decent running back look good, versus having a shitty offensive line will make even an amazing running back look mid.
It'll make your running back look mid and your quarterback look bad too.
So in investment purposes, offensive linemen last longer. Part of the problem with running backs is that their best years are often their early years.
They have a weird shelf life.
Where they're most fresh.
Yeah.
If the free agent rookie running backs were going off for their market price, they would be some of the most highly paid people in the NFL. We've seen multiple times that a good running back can define a high-level, solid playoff offense.
So do you think, like, with this case, with the Eagles, with Saquon Barkley, like, coming in, like, in the season, like, that...
It's like the same Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, yeah.
We saw Ezekiel Elliott a couple of years. Leonard Fournette probably would have been that guy if he didn't get injured early on.
Derrick Henry is another one, I'd say, along with Saquon.
Derrick Henry, Saquon. Yeah. We've seen how these running backs can come in, put up a huge number of yards as rookies, as second-year players, and be extremely effective. The problem is they fall off a lot faster than receivers, offensive linemen, and quarterbacks. You don't see high-level 35-year-old running backs.
Yeah, I mean, they can come back. Christian McCaffrey comes back, you know.
Yes and no, but it's even those guys. You don't see too many of these guys being successful into their later years.
Yeah, and even those two, like Derrick Henry, like 30 years old, he's like another anomaly where he's
Even at 30, it's like, oh my God, he's still like doing this stuff. 30-year-old receivers are like in the middle of their prime. You know what I mean? They're still like, but maybe by 35, you'd have fallen off. But you get a lot more longevity and value out of a receiver, a lot less injuries. That's part of the problem. That's the main downside to running backs. Their second is usually a bad idea to give them a second contract. Not because they're actually bad and because the best running backs aren't really worth the money.
It's too much risk.
Yeah. But it's a lot of risk. Yeah. They're not usually not going to be able to hold up another 4 or 5 years after their rookie contract. It's like Ezekiel Elliott is like 30 years old and he's fallen off entirely.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette, all these guys.
Same thing.
Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, and now Saquon Barkley are the exceptions. But even Saquon looked pretty mid last year. A couple of years, he had a lot of injuries.
I mean, he got stopped pretty hard here at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You know, it's tricky. I mean, so did Patrick Mahomes, right? So it's not just running back. But it's tricky to rely on a running back exclusively, because if you don't have that great offensive line, it's still not going to be great a performance from the running back. And if you have that great offensive line, which is very expensive to have, then you can usually get away with more mid running back, especially if your quarterback is pretty good.
Yes, and so the key lesson to take away is if you send your kid to football, have him be the kicker, because that's the money maker.
Real money.
That's the money maker right there. Or quarterback.
Yes.
But you have to be good at that. That's tougher.
So, halftime show. Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar, baby.
K-Dot. Man, like, what y'all think?
Take off, bro. I'll be 100% honest.
Yeah, what y'all think?
As a spectacle, as a halftime show, it wasn't the best.
Yeah, I can see that.
Lamar is a very talented rapper, talented lyricist.
Oh, of course.
But he does not have a great voice or flow.
Do you think rap doesn't really translate well to performance? Just rap in general?
I think it can, bro. I've seen Kanye West live. I know Kanye West has fallen off. But Kanye West put out some performances.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Even a couple years ago with the Eminem, 50 Cent.
That was a great one. The one in L.A.?
That was fun.
That was amazing.
That was fun. 50 Cent hanging upside down.
Kendrick was in that one.
All this shit. It was fun. I think it can be. I don't think it always does. A lot of rappers are not good live. That's part of the problem. Mm. It's a specific skill set that it takes to be a good live performer.
That is a skill that's different from rapping itself. And it is
not remotely the same skill set as it is to be a good rapper.
Exactly.
Now, but Kosi, what were your thoughts about the performance itself? Could you understand everything Kendrick was saying? And could you vibe with the flow of the entire performance?
Give us your thoughts, Kosi, as a black man in America.
No, I guess to answer a lot of people's questions, yes, Kendrick was speaking English. I think that's another thing that people just weren't. People were kind of confused. First and foremost, I thought it was a great performance. I think Kendrick wasn't. Kendrick and his team were more so going for the message as opposed to like the spectacle that is a Super Bowl. I think they're like, hey, we're having all these eyeballs.
He seems like that kind of guy.
Yeah, we're getting the most eyeballs we ever had. Instead of going and playing my hits, let me go and kick off with the music that's not even out yet, kind of promoting my other stuff. But again, the messaging is what he was going for. And I really like the fact that like it opened up with Uncle Sam, Samuel Jackson. Like, he's a great narrator, great voice, great orator, great actor. So just to have him like kind of be like the MC of this kind of story he was telling, and like the through line is just this whole thing of, you know, in America, not just, you know, with black men specifically, like there's this mold, you're being told you have to be this way, you must conform, don't really speak out, don't really, always try to fit in. And you know, anytime you try to color outside the box, you know, you're told to stay in your place or stay in your lane or shut up and dribble, or when you say stuff that like people don't agree with. So like, it's this whole through line of what does America want this artist to do in the biggest stage ever. And he kind of sort of, instead of blowing it out like we've seen in most performances, he kind of brought us into Compton, brought us into his mind, and kind of put a lot of people onto just what's happening. And there are a whole lot of stuff, they kind of treated this like a Marvel movie with all the Easter eggs in the performance.
Right, guest appearance by Serena Williams,
Crip walking, like, it's
long. I blew my mind, I was like, is that Serena? That can't be.
So, like, the background of that, like, it's long been confirmed that she, you know, that Drake was trying to get at her, and, you know, she was like, no, like, she just had no interest, but Drake was not cool with that. I'm Drake, you don't say no to me. And he kind of just was being mean to her after the fact. So, like, even when she was, like, with her new guy, new mother, he's always, like, sneak dissing her on songs. So, like, you know, she was able to come out and just tell Drake, hey, I see you. And a lot of this was just
people. And fuck you.
Yeah. And Kendrick had the little lowercase A necklace for A minor, which.
Yes. And he still sung. He did sing the line.
That was a huge thing going into the Super Bowl. Will he sing Not Like Us, which, you know, won him 5 Grammys? Like, this is the song where like it's being said that Drake's team is suing him, like, just for
suing his own label.
Yeah, like, it's the most less, like, the least gangster rap thing a guy could do is to get the lawyers involved. So yeah, there was even like questioning, like, oh, is Kendrick gonna do it? And even in his story, he's like saying, oh, like, some people don't want me to play this, but, like, you know, playing to that. So he kind of gave mainstream audiences like what they wanted in terms of like playing the hits. He was able to come after his rap rival with the whole Game Over. He even said, and I loved how, like, I think I've even said it before, he never said the line A minor. He left his stadium and everyone at home listening like say these like iconic lines, which is like, I kind of further cemented that this was like,
well, I think he actually did sing the line itself.
But I think it was done in a way that you can, everyone else can join in, because we all absolutely know, we've all yelled that part.
We were
of the
waiting
song
for that line.
Right? And that is that. They put up the stadium noise because they got good mics. They're obviously chewing the whole time. You would have heard everything. No, they turned it on so you could hear the audience singing.
Yes, we all heard everybody shout out.
Oh yeah,
A minor. No,
it's an epic moment of shitting on Drake.
Kendrick Lamar is quite talented artist. I mean, that 2018 Pulitzer Prize, and now, oh my gosh,
Super Bowl. Like,
he was part of that super group back with like Dre, Mary B. J. and Snoop. I think Kendrick was there.
Yes, he showed up a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
I will say, again, great lyricist. Part of the problem with him, and I feel like, again, sometimes I feel like people are just don't like criticizing him because of what they like and what he stands for. But again, it sounded, there's a lot of mumbles, right?
Yes. I can speak to that actually a little bit.
Go ahead.
Clear foremost, a lot of the songs are just a lot of curse words in it. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's not a mainstream darling. So he's having to just edit the stuff in song. So it's almost like you get like a radio edit version of like a song, like almost like you get it off of Walmart.
I can't see where you're coming from, but even then, man,
self-censoring.
There's some people in rap, and it's not always been a focus, but there's some people in rap that have tremendous voices, right? Like Tupac was not the most brilliant lyricist of all time. But
I'd say it was. I think it was. But
well, I'm not saying he's a bad lyricist. He's a good lyricist. But you know, his real strength was delivery. That his incredible mic voice.
Skills, yeah.
Incredible voice. Even Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre was a straight up terrible lyricist.
He's great on the mic.
But yeah. He was great presence on the mic. Snoop Dogg. There's a lot of these famous people, even like Jay-Z, Biggie.
Yeah.
They just stand out in a way. And Kendrick Lamar, his lyrics and his words and his message stand out. What his songs stand for stand out, but he himself, his voice does not really stand out.
I got that.
It's kind of, he does not sound like somebody, or frankly come across as somebody who would be like the legend of rap, the top rapper. Does that make sense?
Yes. Like
even Nas had these moments where he had come across the kind of wise, kind of like the distinct...
I think Nas also has the same kind of issue.
Nas is bad live. I've heard Nas is pretty bad live. So I've heard similar issues.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that.
No, but see, on the mumbling, it was so bad that the people I was watching with couldn't understand what he was saying and how to explain. Yes, he's calling Drake a pedophile in this song. That's what the lyrics mean. And they're like, oh, but what does his jacket say? And that's what they were caught up on the whole time.
Oh, yeah, it was a bunch of different stuff. Like, it had, like, lyrics of the song. It had, like, his producer's name on it. Again, like a episode of Stranger Things where you can like freeze frame and see a bunch of little Easter eggs in the performance. I don't know. So do y'all think it was worth like the all, because it definitely had a lot of people that are like hating on it. Do you think it was worth like, I want to say a huge backlash, but do you think it was worth like the kind of like worst episode, worst halftime show ever? Like,
oh, not remotely. Some people there's been much worse than halftime.
Some people
shows.
Calling that there wasn't enough, that there wasn't there's enough diversity.
Much worse halftime, but it's.
I mean, are you going to be able to top Katy Perry with that giant lion or whatever it was?
Oh, that was amazing.
The shark.
Or Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars had an amazing one.
Beyonce had a good one.
Yeah.
So it was decent, but it could have. It felt lacking for a Super Bowl performance.
Okay. I'm so glad Kendrick was able to get his message out and just kind of like. Do what he wanted to do.
It felt like
the
kind of thing I would love to love. I would love to say I loved it. But I don't know. It just didn't feel like a great Super Bowl halftime performance.
Right. It didn't. I wish. So early in the summer, he had a thing called the Pop Out where he like performed All Like Us, had like a bunch of people there. Like LeBron was there, like ASAP Rock, a lot of LA was there. I assume he's going to bring that kind of energy from the Pop Out to this. Just show everybody the Pop Out. But on a larger scale, he kind of went the other way. He's like, all right, I want to bring y'all more into my world instead of like kind of like bring and sort of like trying to blow out again. I kind of like, I agree with it. I like that he did it, but I can see why it kind of it left people wanting more in terms of like a Super Bowl halftime performance, because that's the Super Bowl. We're used to that stuff. So
it's meant to be a spectacle.
It's supposed to be a spectacle. Yeah.
It was lacking the oomph, the epic impact, and some of the dancing felt uncoordinated. It just didn't have the gravity of a great show.
Oh, yeah. I like the dancers. I like, again, the colors. But even me as a Kendrick fan, yeah, I was, like, wanting more. But I liked that he was able to have that platform to just say what he wanted, say what he had to say.
Speaking of platform, there was also that protester who had that Sudanese flag and the Palestinian
flag. Sudanese-Palestinian flag.
Yeah, he's now banned from all NFL games.
They got him, but they said they released later. They let the guy go, but they initially were
He didn't send them to jail. They just banned him from the NFL.
Yeah, which is, I think, again, I think you should be able to use your platform to, speak your piece and say what's important in your mind.
So do you think sometimes, on that topic, was he out of line?
Now, I guess there's a time and place for this. Personally, I wouldn't have done that. I think maybe leading up to it, say if you have your own social media, say, I'm going to be at the Super Bowl. Until then, say it there. But at making it a whole spectacle there, risky. Gets the message out. Would I personally do it? No. But I'm not against him doing it.
He gets the message out. I'm not against him doing it. But it's like stuff like that can backfire, man.
Oh, most definitely, yeah.
It's like those old people who deface paint, like famous paintings and stuff.
Well, they throw paint on like...
Yeah, it just makes you hate... I honestly sometimes think they're paid off by old companies because they're doing a great job of making people hate environmentalists.
Yeah, like your first image is like, wait a minute, those environmentalists, they are suck.
Oh, like, you remember back in college, the annoying dudes are like, oh, you have a second to talk about the environment? I'm like, bro, I agree with you overall, but you're annoying me so much, I kind of want you to lose.
I kind of don't want the environment to be
like, I kind of want you to lose. Out of spite. Because, like, out of spite, just because you're annoying me. And okay, I'll be mature enough to not do that, but please stop being annoying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what
you mean. And it's like, bro, it's the Super Bowl. You're obviously here because you're getting paid. It's not your show. It's one thing if Kendrick does that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's his show, but it's just like a random dancer. It's like, I kind of get your right to free speech, all this stuff.
I'm not
but I don't know,
right to
a Super Bowl platform. Okay. I don't think that's can be considered a right in any reasonable,
more like a privilege.
in any reasonable sense of the word.
I think it's like this: if you do have the right. You do have, but also you have people are going to have something to say about it.
Hold on, people have. It's not like he's going to jail.
No, of course not yet.
So he did have the right, and he successfully exercised that right, and he's not going to jail.
Yeah,
but the NFL also has the right to disassociate themselves,
of course,
from some guy who's not going to be professional.
People can tell him what they think about it. Like he's not.
So that's my take. Yeah. Okay, like sure, fine. I don't think it was a time or place. I think again, it has potential to just cause backlash. Like, oh, I'm just trying to. I'm sorry, man. I know politics are important, but sometimes you're just trying to watch a Super Bowl and have a good time. Mm-hmm. And, Kendrick is political.
I'll still say though, Kendrick
is political. Yeah. The American flag was split up with him in the middle.
His performance
was
political.
The Trump was there. So there is some politics, and I get why some people are pissed
at
that.
First presidential appearance in a Super Bowl, I think.
And it was, but it feels different from the leading act, who you already know is a political guy doing some, even not entirely. Openly, like, he didn't say fuck Trump,
just,
you know?
It's just a flag. That's it.
Yeah, he didn't, like, say flag. Fuck Trump. He
said nothing. Just
like, there's messages there, but they're coded, deep messages that you have to, like, listen to the music and appreciate it deeply to understand. They're not the kind of messages like, revolution time, fuck Trump, conservatives suck, you know what I mean?
But I do think that it's the NFL, like, the people that back the NFL, a lot of times, they're not going to be with that Palestinian flag. We all know this, so it kind of feels as though, like, they're being kind of shut down. Would they have stopped it if they had an Israeli flag? I don't think so.
I don't think they would have.
From a random dancer.
I feel like if they had a Taiwan flag up there, they would have ripped it down.
Taiwan. No, but they would have shot the guy. They would have literally shot the guy.
We would
on
not
stage.
Have seen that footage though. Yeah. Okay. But you think Israeli?
No, they would have seen the We would have seen the footage of the guy getting shot just to like show
but the Israeli.
Look, this is what happens.
But you thought the Israeli flag would be okay? You think they would have let that happen?
I think any flag.
I don't think any flag.
The NFL would have had smoke from
maybe the. Only one they would have been suckered into the fact, and then that was probably before Trump. Maybe like the rainbow flag, you know what I mean? Where it almost feels milk toast. It's barely even a political statement.
They took off
point.
End racism in the end zone because that was political.
I mean, what did they replace it with?
They played choose love,
Which
I like. I also agree with.
I like it.
I like that too.
It's a more positive message.
The anti hate commercial. Oh my god!
I hate you.
Like, Tom Brady and
Snoop Dogg. Asking people not to hate him.
So bad, bro.
Dude, Snoop Dogg. I think because a lot of folks are on Snoop Dogg's ass for performing at Trump's. It wasn't an official Trump thing. It was a crypto thing, but it was tied to Trump. But folks are getting on his ass about it.
They're saying he's selling out, and it's like, Snoop, you're cool.
I think people are allowed to feel like that about Snoop. It's not like people shouldn't be clutching their pearls saying, how dare you? No. Snoop took the job. Snoop knew what the smoke was. Snoop should be able to stand on it. Do I agree with it? No.
He had enough money, man.
Yeah, like, and Snoop's whole thing is Trump freed a lot of like the people that he's trying to get out of jail. And that, like, personally for Snoop, that's something that Trump did for him. If that works for Snoop,
Trump was actually surprisingly pro-criminal justice reform.
Done a lot of stuff. That's why
First term.
Yeah. He was there at the halftime show.
And we've had Usher, we've had Rihanna, we had that group.
Usher's amazing. This roller skate.
Weekend.
So, yeah.
So, but a history of black artists. Do we anticipate another black artist or Super Bowl 6?
No, I think we're going to get a country
next
obviously, year.
Not go maybe not next year, but black artists are major, major part of the culture right now.
Michael Jackson's Super Bowl is an all-time. That's the one where he jumped. Michael Jackson jumped out of like the stage, right, and stood there for like 5 minutes, not saying a word. People screamed. He turns his head For another 3 minutes, people are screaming again. He hasn't even played for like 6, 7, 8 minutes and then starts it. It's like,
bro, nobody's as famous as Michael Jackson.
It's bananas. Yeah, bananas.
It's unbelievable. The Motown 25 show.
Oh,
obviously, I didn't see it live, but watching the video of it. Oof.
For all you people out there, that's where he first did the moonwalk. That's like you're watching some, like, it's like you're watching magic happen. Like, like the video feels as though you're watching like something otherworldly happen. And like the crowd was like,
and it was like 50 years ago.
Yeah, it was like,
more, I think.
Jeez, we're old, man.
Yeah. Well, that was before we were born. We're actually young.
Oh.
Yeah, we're young. But for some of our listeners, hopefully, I don't know.
Some of the shit that happened before we were born.
All right, final thoughts on the halftime show.
It was good. I'm glad Kendrick did it, but it could have been better. I wanted better, but it's okay. I know he could do better, but overall, I'm all right with it.
I appreciated the good things about it. Did not like, I get why people are criticizing it. Again, I feel like there's a certain part. I sometimes get why conservatives are upset, because I feel like people say, oh yeah, Kendrick's the greatest rapper alive. And it's like, okay, but then we've had a drop off of greatest rappers alive from what it was, you know, 20 years ago.
Or at least play the hits that I know.
Like, really impactful rapper.
I don't know. You can say probably Jay-Z, Eminem. Drake obviously was huge in his own way, but he's never felt like the best rapper as much as, like, the most famous one.
Right.
Felt like the, like, evolution of Lil Wayne as opposed to an evolution of Tupac, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I could see that.
Obviously, Tupac and Biggie are the two main ones most people talk about.
Mm-hmm. But I guess I'll say this closing. Like, I think, you know, part of being a great rapper is that performance aspect. Yeah, Kendrick may be lacking a little bit in the performance, but overall, it still doesn't take away the fact that he's an electrifying entertainer, artist.
It was fun to watch all the way through. Even if I couldn't understand all the lyrics, I knew the lyrics were beautiful, and I knew he had the message there, and I enjoyed the show.
Could I use subtitles?
Yeah, you know what? I tried to look for closed captions, and I don't think it was there for that song.
Bro, that was back in the day. They don't hire people. That was actual, literal people typing out what happened. That's why it was bad a lot of the time. It was not typing. Like the TV, like AI or whatever these days.
I did see a American Sign Language performance of the halftime show, and that was epic. He was really into it.
That's awesome.
They do get
That's
into
really
it.
Cool.
They do
That's get really into cool. Them. Hey, we're deaf people deserve to have good performances, I guess, too.
They do.
All right, so I think it's time for the plug of the week.
It's about that time.
It's about that time, fellas.
All right, let's see.
Jimothy, guest first.
Oh, man, what am I going to plug? You know what?
Jimothy, what you got to plug?
I'll go ahead and plug the game Space Marine 2. Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2. I think they just released another level, and
they put it in this top 10 just last week.
Yeah, so I'll bring it up for this is the last time I'll mention it, because I'm still playing it. And I don't usually play games this long. Usually I play a game for like a day, like a month, maybe 2 months, and I'll get tired of it. But this one's been like 6 months, I think, and I'm still enjoying the gameplay. So it's there, it's repeatable, and I'm having fun.
Cool.
That's awesome to hear. Kosi, you want to go next? Or?
My plug of the week is actually a great show on Amazon Prime called Invincible. It's the latest season of Invincible. They've released the first 3 episodes. For the viewers who don't know what that is, it's based off of the incredible run of graphic novel comics. So, and Amazon is now adapting all of it to as a TV show. And I've loved it. I know Juan's checked it out. Jim, I don't know if you've checked out the show.
I'm pretty sure we reviewed it on the show.
We've covered it on the show. I don't want to spoil too much just so you guys as viewers can go out. But yes, it's great.
Quality superhero stuff.
Yeah.
If you're the kind of guy that's tired of most superhero stuff and tired of Marvel, this is something that will keep you interested.
What's the name of that again?
Invincible. Yeah,
Invincible. And there's how many seasons now?
3.
It's the 3rd season.
Yeah, 13.
And like a short movie.
Oh, and a short movie.
Yeah, an Adam Eve episode, and like I think
a long episode.
Would you say it's more mature? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Very mature.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very
mature.
Not just in terms of the gore and violence, but in terms of the themes.
Subject matter,
The way the characters develop. All the characters are complex, right? You don't have like these corny, flat characters.
Not falling into typical tropes.
There's some tropes.
There's tropes, but it's...
But they play on the tropes in fun and unexpected ways.
Yeah, it's woven into the story very well.
Some of the tropes they lean into, some of them they lean against in a way that feels fresh.
Nice.
Feels original, fresh, unique, feels coherent, feels like the characters are real characters and like the show is focused on their story rather than just putting together some big fight for the sake of, oh, the evil villain that has to be stopped. It's a very family and character focused show.
That sounds fun. And where can they find that again?
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. All right. And Juan, so what's yours?
All right. So plug of the week. And I had a hard time with this because I wanted to plug two different things.
Yeah.
I think I'm ultimately going to go with your neighbor, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
You've been plugging this show.
Frankly, my other plug, Flow, was a better movie. All
right.
But I watched Flow. Just quick half plug. But no, friendly neighborhood, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Frankly, this is a show I was not expecting to be good. It's from Marvel Animation, not really MCU, but kind of MCU. They actually reference the events of Civil War and the Sokovia Accords very directly, which is kind of funny if you remember that Spider-Man was involved in the airport fight for the Sokovia Accords.
Ooh, yeah, he was there.
So they reference those Accords with Spider-Man watching them and commenting on it. It's kind of funny. It's a very meta. It's a meta little thing.
Yeah, okay.
But in general, it's just kind of like I said with Invincible. They have, it's a very character-focused show. We have a black Norman Osborn, who you know is going to be a tragic character, and they play into that by making him a wonderful character you root for. He's a great, great black father. He's not cruel. You know, he's tough on his son in some ways, but loving and respectful.
He's not like the usual Norman Osborn we've seen in the other iterations.
Exactly. And he's this businessman, but he's really focused on how the Avengers, it's kind of his arc right now, is that the Avengers are not doing a good enough job and they're failing, and that they need new breed of superheroes that have accountability and are like not, you know, too big and gotten too big for themselves. So he has great intentions. Right, you know deep down he's going to turn into a Green Goblin and be the villain eventually.
But it's like you want to see this, but you want to see him go down this path.
Yeah, it happens. It's both wonderful and tragic. Same with Lonnie Lincoln, who we know
Tombstone. If you're aware
of the comic books, that's going to turn into Tombstone. And again, they don't hide it very long. Right, second week of the episodes, they already tell you, oh yeah, I like to go by Tombstone. But again, he's this real good guy, quarterback, scientist, friends to Peter. Real nice guy, cares about his family and his brother. That's how he gets involved with the criminal element, trying to get his brother out of that life because his brother's being stupid and getting involved with it for no reason. So it's again, very tragic stories, very complex whole characters. You root for them. You know they're going to go down the right down path, the dark path. And even then, like, I'm still like at the point where I almost hope that Black Norman Osborn does not turn bad, you know what I mean? He's like playing the perfect Tony Stark mentor role right now.
One of those.
You want him to stay good.
Like, he's the perfect father figure to Peter Parker in high school right now. And again, you just know there's going to be a turn. And it's.
So is this series ongoing right now?
It's ongoing right now.
Yes.
They just released the third batch of episodes. I'm not sure how many. They released 2 episodes week 1, 3 episodes week 2.
Oh,
so it's an odd release schedule. And it's going to be 10 episodes total from what I've heard.
10 episodes total.
Frankly, it feels like the old school Saturday morning cartoons. This is a show that would benefit from having 20 episodes and having just one focus on Aunt May having some dates. And one focused on, you know, Lonnie Walker winning some football games.
Filler episodes.
Filler episodes that build up the characters. It just feels like it's a nice hangout show.
Yeah.
Okay. That's when it makes sense.
Hey, so where can we find this show on?
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus? All right.
It's on Disney Plus. Only downside, the animation is not always the best, but the art style is really, it looks like a comic book. It looks like the comic book panels brought to life and in a 3D way, which I think is a really cool look visually, still wise. Just the animation, the frames, a lot of frame skipping where, you know, you can tell that computer animation can only do so much versus the hand drawn. So there's that's probably my only gripe with it.
All right.
Really good show that did not deserve to be anywhere near as good as it's coming out to be.
I'm looking forward to checking that out then.
All right, Ron, and thanks for the plug of the week. Thanks, man. And dude, thank y'all. And
thank you, Cozy.
Dude, I want to thank you, Warren. Thank you, Jim. And also, most importantly, thank you, the listener. I want to thank you guys listening right now. Seriously, guys, thanks for tuning in once again to another episode. Again, you can find us on any and every social media that there is on there. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, not Twitter. Find us on Blue Sky. You can find us a little bit on
Lurk here. No porn bots for
right?
us.
You can find
Lurk. Are you on Pornhub yet?
soon, Jim. But we're also lurking on Reddit. You can find us there. Talk to us. Get into some conversations with us on Reddit. Also, find each episode on YouTube in their entirety. We have clips. We have all stuff you can find on there. But once again, I've been Cozy, and I'm joined always by Wani B and our special guest Jim. Until next time, guys. Peace.
Adios.
Laters.